May we turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading with the 17th verse of the chapter. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Beloved, I am speaking tonight. What would happen if we found that there were beings on other planets in outer space? I spoke last night on the signs of the second coming of our Savior. Monday night, I got into the subject of the flying saucers. And we saw some very, very interesting things from the Scripture, and I told you that I believe that they're real, and even those who don't know how to explain them still think they're real, because there's some of them they just can't explain. And I told you that I'd personally had the experience of seeing this picture in South America that had just been taken of one that was in the heavens there at the airport. And I know they're real. And the question is, where do they come from? And I told you that I believe that the heavens are to be shaken, and that we have some manifestation of power, satanic power in all possibility, in all probability, from out in the great expanse of space. Now, when we got to the account of the signs of the times, last night I told you there were four areas in which we're to see these signs at the last day. They're markers, they're signals that we're to recognize, and they are to encourage our hearts and to challenge us to serve the Lord, to evangelize the lost, because the day of grace is short. The four signs dealt with the supernatural area, the powers of Satan. He has tremendous power, as I showed you, and there's going to be signs and wonders, even to the extent that he would almost be able to deceive the very elect. And we're going to see all manner of supernatural demonstrations in these last days. One after another is going to come upon us, and men are going to be frightened, and they won't know what to do. And then we saw that we'll have the convulsions of nature. Nature is reacting, the earthquakes in diverse places. And then we saw the convulsion of nations, the wars and the rumors of wars, that the Lord says as nations clash against nation. And then finally we saw the signs as they relate, of course, to the church. And when the Son of Man cometh, will he find the faith on the earth? And we're living in the last days. We have seen the signs, we're able to look at them, and we believe that the coming of the Lord is very near, and that our time is short, and that what we have to do, we must do it now. And the ungodly about us who are without Christ, they have the day of grace, they should believe, and today is the accepted day of salvation. Now tonight I'm going to get into the much broader sphere, and we're going out into the great expanse of what God has created in this mighty universe in which we live. And as I get into that, immediately we have these questions which are raised on every hand today, since man is just beginning to move a little ways out into space. He hasn't moved very far. In fact, man's not going to be able to go very far, because he can't live long enough to get very far. He just can't live long enough. It won't be possible for man to get inside of one of these outfits that they have today and live long enough to get very far. So we're limited in the extent to which man is actually going to go out into outer space as long as we're in the present bodies that we possess at the present moment. But when you stand on this earth as we do now at the present time, and it's a platform in space, that's all it is, and this little platform on which we stand is related to our immediate solar system, and then it's related to the great galaxy that we find out in the outer space. And now we're beginning to learn that there are myriads and myriads and myriads of solar systems themselves, and no one can possibly begin to contemplate what there is out there. And man can't find the edge of the universe, and the longer we look and the further we go, we still don't get to the edge of the universe. And consequently, the man of mind has simply been stymied in the presence of this creation. Utterly stymied in the presence of this creation. And men just give it up, and they say that you can't possibly begin to comprehend what there is out there. And in the light of this, they tell us that they have these other planets, and that surely there's other beings on other planets, and someday we'll have some contact with them, and maybe they're even speaking to us now, and we'll be in tune with their wavelength one of these days, and we'll get through to some message from outer space. Now, beloved, there's one thing that I want to tell you about these great questions, and that is, first of all, that God is greater than this universe. And second of all, that God made the whole universe by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to set your mind at ease concerning some of these basic questions before I get into some of the particulars tonight. And I want to say to you right off the start that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, and it's this Trinity that created the whole universe. And that when he came down to this earth to deal with our sins and became incarnate in human flesh, he went back and sat at the right hand of God. And he came to deal with sin on this earth and all the consequences of that sin in the universe itself. He will never die again. He ever liveth to make intercession for us who are the transgressors. And when they say, will Jesus visit some other planet and will be he reincarnate there and will he die on a cross there? The answer is an emphatic no. In the light of everything that the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to open up some of these things for you tonight, and you will see that what I'm saying is absolutely true. God did something on our little platform. God came down here personally and took unto himself in the likeness of sinful flesh the very substance and the nature of man. And he abides now at the right hand of the throne of God. And there will never be another reincarnation of the Son of God on this earth or any other place in this universe. He has raised himself from the dead. And he is the victor, and he is the triumph over all of this. And now all power and all authority in heaven and in earth is in his keeping and in his hand. So let's not disabuse our minds by the idea that there might be some other come along. There will never be another Redeemer, and there will never be another Christ. There'll never be anyone else who did what the Son of God did when he came down to this earth. Now, beloved, I'm going to point out to you people some things tonight about the importance of the redeemed and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Because what he has done for us in Jesus Christ will extend to the entire limit of this universe. There is no part of this universe that will not know what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross of Calvary and when he was raised from the dead. Well, you say, Dr. Magendar, how in the world can you talk like that? How can you make such statements like that? Well, I'm going to show you how I can make such statements like this. And as I present to you now this great expanse and show you the glory of God that's to be revealed in us, and what God is going to do for us and what he's doing for the whole universe, you people tonight can thank God for the regeneration you have. And you people who aren't regenerate, you must listen to this gospel and be saved now.
Because today is the day of grace, today is the day of redemption, today is the day of faith, and today is the day of your salvation. And as I present this picture to you and give this story to you out of the scriptures, the one emphasis tonight is that men might come to the knowledge of Christ and be saved, and then enter into the glory that he has provided for us who belong to him. Now will you turn with me, please, to this passage in Ephesians. I'm going to start with that. In this passage in Ephesians, which I read for you as the scripture, we have chapter 1. And the apostle is saying that he wants the eyes of the Christians to be opened so their understanding can begin to be enlightened. And he wants you to understand something of the inheritance which is ours among the saints. And he wants us to recognize the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. This part was directed toward us. According to the working of his almighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Now this is what I want you to see. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world. We're talking about the universe, the whole universe of which we're part, but in that which is to come after we've left this and gone into eternity itself, in the reordering of the whole universe in the new heavens and the new earth. Now you turn to chapter 3, verse 10. And I think I'll begin with verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see. You people are to see this. What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus? Here's the whole universe in his hand, you see. To the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. Now, he's not talking about the earth, ladies and gentlemen, at that point. Perfectly plain, he's not talking about the earth at that point. Might be known by what? The church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, if you'll take verse 10, you have the whole created universe there before you. Christ has made it all. And then you have the fact that what has taken place in the church, what the church has become and what the church is, that the principalities and the powers and the heavenly places are going to look at the church and they're going to know something about the manifold wisdom of God that they find in the church that they do not find in the remainder of the creation. Well, now where does that take us, beloved? That really takes us somewhere. And if you'll take that 10th verse and tie it back over in with that 21st verse, we have here that the Lord Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father, far above these principalities in the heavenly places, far above these powers in the heavenly places, far above this might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in that one which is to come. Oh, beloved, do you know that over in the Epistle to the Hebrews, let's turn to it. Turn to this Epistle to the Hebrews, the latter part of that, I believe it's the 12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. You have a section there that touches on these things just a little too, that begins to really stretch the imagination. In the latter part of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, here you have it. And the apostle speaks about the mountain that smoked where Moses received the commandments and they feared because of the quake. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. How many of them? An innumerable company of angels. to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God and the judge of all and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood that sprinkleth, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
I have no idea. You can't begin to conceive of what there is. But I can tell you tonight that somewhere in this universe of ours, there is an innumerable company, at least of angels. And furthermore, it's possible to have dealings with the angels. It's possible to run into them. Possible to see them. Mary saw Gabriel, you must remember. And he was sent from God, and he came to talk to her. On the night when our Savior was born in Palestine, there was a whole heaven full of them. I don't know where they came from, but there certainly was plenty of them around. And they were seeing, and they all saw him. Their eyes were open, they could see him. You have some of these other instances in the Scripture. Open their eyes, open their eyes, open. Here's a great host of angels. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself could have just spoken and called all he needed around him. They'd have been there. And beloved, when you turn and think about principalities and powers and dominions and thrones and every name that is named, not only in this world in which this whole, and I think that refers to the whole encompass of this great universe. I can't begin to tell you how many beings there are aside from man. But I know that there are principalities and powers. And just where they are and just where they're dwelling, I do not know. But it's not at all impossible that they can't have communication with us. It's not at all impossible that man won't run into some of these things. It's not at all impossible that this thing isn't happening out. In fact, I know that the universe is populated. I know that there are all manner of things out there. The Bible says, what do you call these powers? And what do you call these principalities? And what do you call these dominions? It's very clear when you get into the realm of the devil. Here was Lucifer. He was a great being, and he took all his angels, and the Lord said that they made hell to take care of him. Hell was made and prepared for the devil and his angels. And just how many angels the old devil has, I don't know, but he's got multiplied thousands and thousands of them because he's almost ubiquitous. He's everywhere. Now what I want you people to recognize in relation to this matter is that man, down here on this earth, that God's been especially good to us. Do you know that the devil was thrown out of heaven, and he's the prince of the power of the air? He moves across this old universe of ours. And do you know God never made any provision for the redemption of the devil? You ever stop to think about that? Devil's never going to get to heaven. He's going to spend his eternity in hell. That's where God's consigning. And God never provided for the salvation of the devil. Did you ever stop to think that God never provided for the salvation of all the devil's angels and his legions? No. All that company that belonged to Satan and all his legion, his principality, his dominion, all his host have had the judgment of God pronounced upon them. And God has prepared a hell for them to abide in for all eternity. And Almighty God has not provided for the salvation of a single individual angel that fell with the devil. He didn't provide for it. Well, would you kindly explain to me then, if he didn't provide for the old devil's redemption and he didn't provide for his legions and his angels' redemption, why in the world did he ever provide for man's redemption when the devil was the one that misled man? When the devil was the one that misled our first parents and brought us under his dominion, that's where we are. Whosoever is in sin is a servant of sin, and we're under the dominion, we're in his kingdom, we're a part of the kingdom. How in the world will you explain to me that if God didn't provide for the redemption of the devil, and God didn't provide for the redemption of the devil's host, how in the world did God ever provide for the redemption of man who was tempted and misled by Satan?
Would you answer that question for me?
You know what the answer is? The grace of God, that's all I can say. Just the grace of God. And beloved, do you realize what God has done out of all this universe? And sometimes people come to say, well, why did God pick out such a little place like the earth down here when there are bigger planets and there may be all sorts of things happening in the other part of the universe? Why did he pick us out and come down to this little place where we are and set the stage for the cross and the resurrection? And why did he pick this place where the holy city is going to come someday out of the platforms of space and land down here in Palestine and set up its abode with us? Why, oh why, did he ever do a thing like that? The answer is grace. Mysterious grace. He loved us. And we're told we were made a little lower than the angels. Oh, beloved, if you look at man and see what man is, and when we get a sight one of these days to see these archangels and see their glory and see what God gave to them, we're going to say, my, oh my, we were made lower than they are. We were made lower than these angels. But what has he done to us? It is redemption of us. He's lifted us up and put us above the angels. And he set our Redeemer at his own right hand. And in Jesus Christ, he's taken us to the right hand of the throne of God. And God has done something for man in his redemption that he has not done for any other creature that he has made. Now let's develop this just a little further. I've got some other things I want to show you. This is going to unfold for you because the apostles believed in it. Abraham believed in it. Abraham looked for a city which had foundations. He never even got a Sarah, a modern kitchen with any of the conveniences or convenience. She lived in a tent all her life, and I can imagine how she got along, living from day to day. Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and that's been over 4,000 years ago. He lived looking for that city, and it's going to come one of these days, and it's going to come out of the heavens. But beloved, what I want you people to recognize tonight is that what God has done and what God has promised for you and me far expands anything that you and I have ever begun to think about so far as this little earth is concerned on which we dwell. This little earth on which we dwell. Now will you turn to this passage here in Ephesians, in verse 10 of chapter 3, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Beloved, the wisdom of God is manifest in the creation. The invisible things from the creation of the world, the invisible things of God are clearly seen in the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And it makes no difference where you go in the universe, he made it, then there's evidence there of his design and his wisdom and his power. No matter where you go in the universe, God's power is there and his wisdom's there. But only in the cross of Christ, this is the only place where the wisdom of God is manifest in the plan of redemption for man. Now the fallen angels aren't going to be redeemed. The angels that didn't fall, they don't need redemption. But man who fell into sin is the object of a special and the most glorious manifestation of the wisdom of God that there is to be seen anywhere. What God did in planning the cross, in which his Son came and took our stead, our place, and died as our sacrifice. When God worked out that plan in his wisdom, it succeeded all the remainder of the wisdom of God which could be seen in the whole universe. Nothing that God has ever done compares in wisdom to the plan of redemption, whereby his Son left heaven, became a man, was crucified and shed his blood, was raised from the dead, and then he brings with him many, many souls into glory. Now that is a plan that is of the wisdom of God. Now what does he say? The principalities and the powers and the hosts in the heavenly places are going to know all about it. The whole universe is going to know about it. And when they hear about this, they're going to look at the church and they're going to say, well, look at what the Lord did to those fallen sinners. He didn't do it to the devil. He didn't do it to his legions. He didn't do it to all who came under Satan's power, but he did do it for man. And God has done something for you and me in Jesus Christ that he has never done for any other creature aside from man. Did you know that you people are going to live a long time? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men to be pitied. What is 60 years? Nothing. What is 100 years? Nothing. If in this life only, just for the struggles of this day, we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied. It's the eternity that's beyond us. It's the expanse of a universe which is to be cleansed and purified. All of that is before us. And it's that which you and I have in Jesus Christ, because he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and purchased our redemption at such tremendous cost. This passage is telling you and me that these principalities and these powers and these thrones and these dominions and whatever they are out there in the great expanse of this universe of God, whatever they may be, they're going to look at you, they're going to look at me, and they're going to say, how in the world did this ever take place? And beloved, I want to tell you, it'll be a question in their mind. Here was Lucifer. This mighty archangel that excelled as in strength, he was of the highest order. And if God was going to help anybody, he at least ought to try to help him out. But he didn't. He threw him out, prepared hell for him. There was no hope. Utter judgment pronounced against the devil. And then here's all his legions. And how many there are, we have no idea, but there are legions upon legions that belong to the old devil. And the whole universe knows it, ladies and gentlemen. The whole universe is aware of what's taking place in this great struggle. There's no doubt about it. The Son of God is at the right hand of the Father. And here is Satan thrown out. And here are his legions under condemnation. Did anybody do anything to help them? Did anybody do them to get their sins forgiven? No, it's judgment. It's condemnation. It's the justice of God against their disobedience and their rebellion in this world and in this universe. No hope for them. But here's this creature called man down here in a little place they call the earth. Stuck off over here to one side, just going around a little thing. Even Jupiter's bigger than we are, and Mars, and all the rest of these things. And we're off down here in this little place. And down here in this little place, here's this little company. The devil came in here, and he tempted Adam and Eve, and got the curse on them, and then what happened? God told the woman that the seed of that woman would bruise the head of that serpent. That here would be the great battleground, and here the great victory would be won, right here. And do you know, beloved, every time a soul is redeemed down here, we're told there's rejoicing in heaven. And every time a soul is redeemed down here, the devil knows he lost somebody he tried to keep. Every single time. Beloved, the struggle in which you and I are engaged is just a little thing down here. It's reflected in heaven. It's reflected in the kingdom of darkness. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and these powers that are in high places. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. And you don't realize what Christ did for you when he saved your soul. You don't know what he did for you when he delivered you from the wrath and the judgment of God when he saved your soul. And you'll begin to appreciate it after you get into eternity more than you do now. And we're going to praise God for delivering us from death and taking us out from under Satan's kingdom. And we're going to praise him for all eternity. And we're going to sing of the blood of the Lamb as long as eternity lasts.
The knowledge of this gospel will be throughout the whole universe. The knowledge of this gospel will endure throughout all eternity. And I'm standing here in this pulpit tonight and telling you of the name of Jesus Christ and how you can be saved and delivered from sin and death. And if you believe on the Son of God, you'll be born into His kingdom by His power. You know, it's impossible for a feeble man, limited as we are, to even begin to enter into what there is here in this magnificent realm of God's eternal purpose for you and for me and for our souls. We can't even begin. We can just touch it. We can just touch on it. There are beings, and we may run into them, and we won't be surprised when we run into them because the Bible's told us they're all there. We won't be surprised. In fact, I'd like to take a look at them. I'd like to see what they're like. Be very interested in seeing what they're like. But you say, Dr. McIntyre, what are you going to do next? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do next. Let me take you over to the 8th chapter of Romans. Let me take you over to the 8th chapter of Romans. And when you get into this 8th chapter of Romans, here's the one that sings of justification. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. All these principalities and these powers out here, and you come down to the very end of this 8th chapter of Romans, and what does the apostle say as you reach the great climax of it? He says, I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, here we are, we run into them again, and powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. There's a lot of creatures, ladies and gentlemen. You haven't seen them yet. There's lots of them. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in this present universe, nothing in this present world, nothing in the great world to come after we pass into the presence of the Lord, nothing shall ever be able to undo what God did on the cross for your redemption. Nothing ever will be able to nullify, to destroy, to repudiate, to take the blood of Christ and take out of it its cleansing power for you and me. No one can ever change that. Talk about a transaction. Talk about Almighty God setting the stage in eternity when God sent His Son down here to die upon the cross. His wisdom was manifested and all the universe will know it. Furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I get up there, that's all you're going to sing about. Everybody in the universe is going to look at us. We're the creatures of grace. We're the creatures of redemption. We're the recipients of the special affection of the Almighty God. Did He send His Son to die for an angel? No, He wouldn't do that. He sent Him to die for you. Did He send His Son to die for the old devil? No, He wouldn't do that. He sent His Son to die for you, my friend. Man in his sin. This is something of the grandeur of this great program and the outreach of God as He's planned for us a deliverance from death and from hell. Now turn to this 8th chapter of Romans and you notice verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Let me stop there just a minute. You know, we went up to Mars a little while back. We got pretty close to Mars. They discovered there wasn't anybody there. But isn't it interesting that Mars doesn't have anybody there? It's just dead, they said. The old moon up here, we see pictures of it now. It's kind of dead. There's nothing up there unless we get a little closer to it. It's dead. And they're going to get out to Venus. I guess the Russians are on their way tonight to Venus. And then we're going to get up to Jupiter. And we're just making some explorations. But why? Why are these old planets dead sitting up there? Why is there no life connected with them? Why is there just life down here? Would you kindly tell me? The whole creation groaneth and travaileth together. That's what he's saying here. Right now.
And what you see out there at the moon, and what you see out there at Mars, and what you see at Jupiter is a reflection of sin and its consequences in this whole universe of ours. And God has told us he's going to clean it all up. Look at the rest of this. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit what? The redemption, the resurrection of our body. And this whole order of cleansing the heavens, this whole order of setting things right again, this whole order will come into its own when Christ begins to raise us. Of course, he was the first fruits. He was the first one to challenge and break this whole thing open by his own resurrection. But when we're going to get our resurrection, and then that moves us on into these other glories that are set before us. And I want you people to follow me now as I turn first to Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. If you ever wanted to be on the Lord's side, you ought to be on his side tonight. If you people ever wanted to be in the place where God is going to do great and glorious things for his people, you must get right with the Lord tonight. And here in this 17th verse of Isaiah 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind." Then will you turn to the 66th chapter. And then down at the end in verse 22 he says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Now will you turn with me over, please, to 2 Peter, the last chapter of 2 Peter. And here the Apostle Peter is speaking about these very same things. And in this third chapter of 2 Peter, we have here verse 3. "There will be scoffers in the last days, and they shall say, where is the promise of his coming? And but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And then will you turn with me, please, to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And in this 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write these words, for they are true and faithful." Beloved, you and I are on the threshold of the most magnificent developments that could possibly be conceived. We're just on the threshold. I want to tell you, beloved, when God gets through straightening out that moon, it's going to be a nice place to take a vacation on. It's going to be nice up there. And when God gets Mars all fixed up for us, Charlie may be running Mars, I don't know. When it gets Jupiter all fixed up for us, it's going to be magnificent. I don't doubt for one minute on that resurrection day, and he comes and speaks and the dead are raised and we get our new bodies and the heavens will be filled with this great company. Think of what's going to come, ladies and gentlemen. "And he shall gather his elect from one end of the heavens to the other." And think of what it's going to be like in that great day when the heavens are filled with this multitude that no man can number, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And here he'll come, the mighty conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ, who tramples under his feet Satan, and he crushes the old serpent. And he is the one now, he's going to straighten out the whole heavens for us. And we shall have a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, on that resurrection day, and I get my new body on, and
It's a body that's not made of the corruption anymore. It's a body that's not in the weakness that we have now. It'll be a body of power, and it'll be a body that'll be like unto the body Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. And we'll never hunger, and we'll never thirst anymore, and there'll be no more tears to fall from our eyes. And we'll go out across this universe, and we'll be heirs, and we'll be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if they're not some beings up on Jupiter, they'll be there after the resurrection day. We're going to take the universe, and man will be the one who will praise God for that glorious wisdom which he manifested on the cross of Calvary when the blood was shed and it was finished and redemption was purchased for us. Of all the creatures of the universe, of all the hosts of heaven, man will stand above them all. We will be near to the Lord because he bears our likeness. And he took unto himself human flesh in order that he might stoop down and lift us up and save us. And you ask me the question, why did he do it? I can only answer, the grace of God. I can only answer, the grace of God. Oh, these heavens as we now have, he's going to roll them up like a scroll. He's going to cleanse them with fire. And oh, how they need to be cleansed. And then he's going to give us a universe in which there will be righteousness, a new heavens and a new earth. And I ask you tonight, do you want to be in that place, or do you want to be with the devil and his angels that the Lord prepared for them? And that decision will not be made then. That decision is made tonight. That decision is made tonight. He that believeth on the Son shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, some of the old preachers in olden days, they used to preach like this. They used to talk about the principalities and the powers, and they used to think about the heavens, but the communists have come along and they denounce what they call pie in the sky, and so our preachers don't tell you about the skies anymore. And we're all interested in straightening up a little things down here. Ladies and gentlemen, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men to be pitied. But because we have hope for a new heavens, because we have hope for a returning Christ, this life has purpose and meaning. And that purpose is to be a light, to be a witness, to win the lost to Christ, and then to glorify God by your own life and your own conduct. I guess I better stop. No, I'm going to give you something else. You know, I get to thinking about these things sometime, and I almost run off the highway. You really do. You just almost run off the highway. You get so thrilled thinking about all these things that are in the Scripture. Folks, you know why you don't think about these things more? You don't read the Bible. You know why you don't think about these things more? You go to some old dead church where they're teaching some Jesus who's a revolutionary leader down here, and not this one who's going to triumph in the heavens and clean up the whole universe for us. That's your problem. You need to listen to the Christ of the Scriptures, and everything's in there for us to unfold and understand it. And oh, when we get on the other side, we're going to look back and say, my, wasn't I dumb? Wasn't I dumb? Why couldn't I have seen those things just so plain there? Somebody asked me one day, Dr. McIntyre, do you think that the holy city, New Jerusalem, is going to land on this earth? I surely do. You know what we're talking about now? We're talking about putting space platforms out here and tying up a few astronauts and maybe getting out in the moon. We're just really experimenting to try to see if we can't know how to do it. That's what we're doing. Spending billions of dollars trying to get some little platform out there. And just wait, beloved. You just wait till the Son of God comes and we're in the heavens and we have a resurrection. And somewhere out of the great expanse of this universe, I don't know where it is, there's a holy city. It's there. And you say, but Dr. McIntyre, do you think its streets are going to be paved with gold? Yes, I expect to walk on them someday. Oh, I don't doubt it. What do you think these space hounds that are reaching out here would do if they found a big pile of gold up on one of these planets? What if they ran into a planet that was 50% diamond? What do you think they'd do?
What in the world do you think would happen?
Oh, beloved, just think of the universe that we have and what is there out there. You can't begin to conceive. But God says, I have a holy city, and it's four square, and it doesn't need any light in that city, because the light of that city is the Lamb. And in that mighty day of triumph, when the heavens are cleansed, there'll be a great holy city coming down. And it'll come down through the great space of eternity, and it'll land right here on this earth where we lived and where the cross was erected. You say, you're rather literal, aren't you? Well, of course I am. The moon's literal, and the earth is literal, and the heavens are out there. They're very literal tonight. And when my Bible says that we're going to be in the heavens with the Son of God, we're going to be there literally. And I don't doubt for one minute that this holy city will come. But oh, what a city it is. And how it is made in all the glory that God himself as the chief architect of heaven and of the New Jerusalem. And it will abide. Beloved, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever. You're never going to cease to exist. And furthermore, once you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, you'll never, never cease to sing of the blood that was shed on the Calvary's cross. The blood of the Lamb that was cleansed. And the greatest story that's ever been told on this earth is that God loved us and sent his Son. The greatest hymn that will ever be sung in the great expanse of the universe is that the Lamb was worthy. The Lamb is worthy because he redeemed us by the price of his own blood. Do you understand the magnitude of this gospel? Do you understand the expanse of its glory and its power to change your heart, to make you a new creature, and then to give you a resurrection, and then to give you a new heavens, and then to give us eternity in a universe of righteousness and peace. And the gateway to that heaven is the Lamb. The door to that eternity is Jesus. And the one whom you must accept if you're going to enter into the glories that he's promised is Jesus Christ. Beloved, what's wrong with you Christians? Would you kind of tell me? You're kind of sick, aren't you? Kind of anemic, aren't you? You're kind of lazy, aren't you? You just drift along and you get all mixed up in the mud and the mire that's down here. You get so twisted up listening to tales, stories, wasting your time. What's wrong with you Christians? What's wrong with you people that belong to this Collingswood Church? Ask yourself what's wrong. Why don't we attend to the primary business that God's given us to do? Why don't we witness? Why don't we win souls? Why don't we work? Why don't we build a church? And why don't we tell the rest of the world they're going to hell unless they come and believe on the Lamb of God? Why don't we attend to our task? Oh, the glory that is to be revealed in us. Oh, yes, they say, are there going to be any beings in outer space? Well, I'm going to be out there pretty soon. They'll run into me. I'm going to be out there pretty soon. We're going to fill the universe. We're going to have the whole universe at our command. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ of everything. God gave him everything, and he appointed him to be the heir of all things. And Paul says, I'm a joint heir with him. And everything God gave to Christ, Christ is going to share with me that I might rejoice in the power of God and the glory of God. You know what man's chief end is? Glorify God. And to enjoy him how long? 60 years? Forever. And this is life eternal. What is eternal life? That they might know thee, the only true God. That's all we want is the knowledge of God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And the Father sent the Son. And we come to know the Son. We have fellowship with the Father. And when we have the Son, everything the Father gave the Son, he shares with us. That's it. That's Christianity.
That's redemption. That's the gospel. And beloved, when you stand in the presence of it, you just shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink, and you say, Lord, not I, not I, but Christ. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for this message tonight. And we thank Thee that the heavens declare Thy glory. And now that the sin has moved in to scar it all and to leave it so empty and so soundless, we thank Thee that Christ is going to straighten it all out. And oh, His power just to straighten out things down here, Lord, is fractional concerning what He's going to do with all the rest of this great universe. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And oh God, as man reaches out in his feeble blindness, scratching here, oh, we realize that Thou knowest all about it. No matter what they may run into or how many beings or creatures or whatever they may find out there, Lord, You've told us already that the universe is full of them. But Lord, tonight, it's just beginning to dawn on us in a little way what it means for us to be saved and to be with Christ forever. For Christ's sake, amen.